You're listening to the Mundy Maniacs podcast.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to episode number 32 of the Mundy Maniacs podcast, the only Mundy podcast out there. My name is Kevin, and I am a Canadian who lives and works in Shenzhen, China. Where the heck is that? Well, it's right across the water from Hong Kong. You've heard of that place. And I'm joined, as always, with my co-host, PJ, coming to you from Osaka, Japan. Hello, PJ.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. You know, relatively speaking, work is busy, life is busy. But this week has been a lot more relaxed and slower than it was. October was just a whirlwind and not always in a good way. Just too many freaking events. I mean, as in events like Halloween parties and family parties and school Halloween parties and My band practicing way too much, but in the end it paid off. We had a really great gig. But yeah, it was really busy, but I'm doing okay. How about you? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. We're midway through the semester in university land, and you know, there's always grading to do. There's always prep to do, but I can't complain. I think you've been much busier of late. I would say I love the fall. The weather is nice. It's cold in the evenings, but warm during the day, or comfortable during the day. Yeah, you know, Osaka can be pretty miserable, as you well know, in the summer.
Yeah,
it's hot. It's humid. You know,
I yes, yes, and yes.
I've been in oceans that were drier. But yeah, it's really nice and comfortable right now. I love the winter atmosphere of it all. And, you know, it's still not too dark. It gets dark around 5:30 here.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not, you know, it's dark, but it's not, you know, you don't feel you're losing the day necessarily, which in, you know, a couple hours, it'll be dark by 4:00. That gets to me. So I love the fall. So things are good.
Well, we don't really, there's, you know, where I'm living in Shenzhen, right by Hong Kong. I mean, it's a subtropical climate, so there is really no fall per se, or maybe there is, maybe that's where we're at now. But for us, like, I mean, up until, what's it now? It's Wednesday evening. It's November 10th, recording this. And on Sunday, it was like 31 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
And then... Yeah, and that was just consistently that temperature, and it then dropped on Sunday night. When we woke up on Monday morning, it was 15 degrees, so it halved. And I know you're like, 15, that's not cold. But when it drops that much, and it's pretty much stayed there since then. So I'm loving it. I got to admit, a bit chilly when I ride my bike to school in the morning. I'm wearing a sweater and stuff. But like, for example, my kind of routine is like around 9 o'clock at night, I go out for about an hour and 15 minutes for my Munzee walk. And it's just been lovely. Like I'm not sweating. And that's a special thing for me. So, I mean, last night I went up for a walk and I got my earbuds in, I listened to some podcasts, you know, I'm capping Munzees and hitting my destinations, and I'm just feeling good and loving this time of the year. Yeah. So weather's an important factor, isn't it?
It is. Especially for a game, you know, like Munzee, you know, any kind of outdoor location game. It's especially when you're out, I want to say outside of North America, where you might be walking or biking, you know, you're a little bit more connected to the environment. I mean, nothing to take away from North American play at all, but you know, we're both from North America. You can be very insulated in insulated houses and insulated malls, driving your car.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit of different a game, unless you're in one of the more extreme weather environments, which Canada and the US do have.
yeah, definitely.
But yeah, no, I definitely feel, since I'm on a bike. I bike or walk for Munzee or train it. The weather, having fall or spring weather really makes a difference in terms of the enjoyment of it. I still go out anyway, but I'm cursing myself out less. in the spring.
Absolutely. Cool. So in this episode of the podcast, we wanted to talk about what if Munzee was a subject in school? What if people in school learned about Munzee, and as course credit, they went out and played Munzee, and they had to learn the ins and outs of the game and the language aspect of the game? Well, I think that'd be pretty cool. And I bet Rob would think that would be really cool too. They're listening, hey, wouldn't that be cool if there was a Munzee school? Well, and there's something very cool that's going on in Osaka, Japan right now. And we meant to talk about this in our last, I think, two episodes.
Yeah. But it was on the list.
And as we rambled on about blah, 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 Munzee, we forgot to talk about it, as we do. Because if there's one thing we can do is ramble on. But that's why it's at the forefront of this episode. So, PJ, tell us about what I'm alluding to.
Okay. Well, I think actually we mentioned it on our first episode or second episode. It was early on.
Yeah.
I was talking with another player, Mario, about doing some kind of activity with Munzee in school. We're university teachers, and the idea being that we wanted them to see that they could use a website and an app that's only in English, which generally I think is probably a negative for Japan. It's one of the reasons why the game hasn't grown, I think, here. But let's turn a negative into a positive. Let's make some lemonade out of some lemons. And we wanted them I wanted students to see that they could use an English app and do so successfully. Originally the idea was it was for a communication course and they would have something to talk about. But Munzee came along, COVID came along, and the optics didn't look very good to have us having students go out, even though I think I've played throughout COVID and quite safely. Just the optics of a teacher having students go out and do something during lockdown and such. We put it on hold. So now that Japan has kind of gone through a pretty light phase, we're only getting numbers in the single digits, occasionally double digits for the whole country. So we're doing, knock on wood, I'm knocking out of my head for those who can't see in podcast land. Japan's doing pretty good. I thought now's the time to give it a shot. And I teach a writing class, with a small writing class. It's basic paragraphs to basic essays. There traditionally was a component of the class, a form filling or an application filling part of the class. We're basically focusing on paragraphs, which are quite different. But the idea to get them, no topic sentences, no florid language, be able to fill in, boxes with words in a limited space, and to do so appropriately. And I didn't like what was done. It was filling out an application for a custom form or a job application, none of which they'll never ever have to fill out in English anyway. So it seemed a bit phony or inauthentic, I should say. So I just decided to try Munzee there and make them fill out these CAP or capture reports and deploy reports. I took a note from your book and I made them all a little dime bag of five physicals, five greenies. Yep. And I put out, in addition, we went over the game's rules and, about be prepared and be a good neighbor and, all of the things that, the guidelines that Munzee puts out on their page, I had translated. And then I added some additional rules, specific to the class. And then we started in the beginning or the end of September. And it's been an interesting learning experience. Having only 16 students do it was a good idea because it is it's become more time intensive for me, getting them going, getting them to download the app, getting them to capture for a while before they start deploying and get the feel of things. And I'd say it's pretty successful so far. Of the 16 students in the class, 14 are actively capping. Actively capping. And I'd say three of them are enthusiastic about the game.
Okay, great.
One of them is doing so well. He's about to eclipse some of our local friends. Though he's only been doing it for 3 weeks, he's got over 100 captures. And he's he's traveling far and wide with it, which I like to see. If I would say there's been a negative side to it, it's in the class component, the having them fill out these forms. It's my first semester doing it, and as any teacher, a K through university knows, the first time you teach something, there's always a bit of fiddling.
Trial and error.
Yep. And the apps, the forms that I created out of Excel aren't quite suiting the purpose. And I think I've scared them a little bit in terms of deploy, because this is taking place in Kyoto, a university in Kyoto. And as you know, every third building in Kyoto is 1,000 years old. that's only a slight exaggeration. Of that, I kind of really impressed upon them, you know, don't be deploying in shrines or temples or historical buildings. You know, what's appropriate, what's not, things like that. And I think I've scared them because at this point, no one has deployed yet. Even though they've passed the minimum, I told them they have to cap at least 5 before they can deploy. They're well on their way, but no one's deployed yet. And I'm going to have to light a fire under there. I may have to ask you and Batman Kai to film a short instructional video, because I, being single, can't film myself doing it. And it's funny, we're in the classroom and I can't deploy because I'm inside. I've mimed it. I've even pretended I made a fake bench and I pretended to stick one in and we walked through it. Yet they still haven't deployed. So that's going to be my struggle over the next couple of weeks, getting them to, now that they've capped at least 5, and like I said, that one is well over 100, get them to start deploying, maybe in a park. We've talked about appropriate locations and checking the map for accuracy and leaving a hint. You know, we've gone over all of that. It's just a matter of getting them to do it. As you well know, the app is not very intuitive. It takes a while to get comfortable with it. And they're getting to the point where they understand that they can do this, you know, without the language help. So in these days with DeepL or Google Translate, or now Safari and Chrome all have auto translation features built in, they can't use them in the app. And even on the website, I've told them to turn all those features off, because like a lot of websites, sometimes that interferes with, you know, like a button that takes you to the next page may be gone under the translation. Yeah. Yeah. So I think they're a little bit shy, but they're getting there. And this is an intermediate level class. So the nicest thing happened last Friday, and then I'll stop talking here. This girl came up to me right before class was starting, and she said, "I see that you've deployed some in Takatsuki," and that her hometown. And Takatsuki is kind of like a satellite. It's right in between, equidistant between Kyoto and Osaka. So a lot of students live there because it's very flexible. But I said, yeah, I've deployed about a dozen in the Takatsuki. And so here, and all in English, this is before class. She doesn't need to speak English to me. There's no motive and no rule, but we're having an authentically originating conversation. She talks 10 minutes about why she loves her town. And she talks about the jazz festival that they have every year and the fall festival, which is going on right now. And she wants to know if I've been there and I've done these things, which I have. But it came from Munzee, and that was the idea that now we're taking something that's completely authentic outside of the classroom. And we had a 15-minute conversation in English about her town and her city because of Munzee. And that brought it up. And she just wanted to know if I knew X, Y, and Z spots and maybe she'll deploy there and encourage me to go back. And it was a great conversation. And that just did my heart good. That's what we want students to use English tools, whether it's a website or a book or whatever, use it authentically and then come back and discuss it. And you know, and it worked. I that's more one of the success stories. She's one of the three I mentioned that were rather avid. I've got two that only capped one and haven't done one since. So it's certainly a mixed boat, but it's as you know, with location games, not everybody likes them. And I get that. But, you know, I've minimized what they're going to do. They have to do to pass the class. They got to cap 5 and deploy 2.
Okay.
And then after that, whoever caps the most will get some extra credit. Whoever deploys the most will get some extra credit. Whoever has the most points at the end will get some extra credit. So there is a bit of gamesmanship. And I begin each class by showing the list who's on top. And they love it. And it's working well.
Cool. That's sweet, man. That's an awesome story. And I'm happy you're doing that. It's a cool way to, of course, not only, you know, hopefully build a game, but of just bringing your passion into a classroom and making a very unique kind of different type of lesson. And we go into teaching. It's not teaching for us. It's just fun. I mean, that's like with me and insects and bugs and teaching kids about bugs and birds and things. These are things I love anyway. And if I can share that with others, God, great. And if I get paid money to talk about bugs, heck yeah.
Well, I think so, it's just alluded there. It's if you've got the passion for something, that can be contagious. And particularly, whether it's nature or Munzee, you're connecting the classroom with the outside, the real world. And I think that's important.
Absolutely. And that reminds me, or that brings me over to segue to talking about how I was just chit-chatting on WeChat, which is the Chinese equivalent of Facebook Messenger or Line in Japan, with a staff member at my school who early on this year caught the Munzee bug. And him and his wife became just a powerhouse Munzee duo for a few months. And then while they were doing this, his wife was in her third trimester, pregnant with her first baby. And then, you know, in the summer in Shenzhen is horrific in many ways with the heat and the humidity. And then they had a newborn baby. So they both just 100% stopped playing.
Yeah.
And, I talked to him a few times. He's like our head of athletics at our high school. And I talked to him recently and I was just like, hey, like, you ever think you'll start again? He's like, oh yeah, man, I love the game. I want to play again. It was just so rough over the summer and we just have a newborn baby. And, you know, of course, these are not excuses. These are darn good reasons not to play. But I just sent him a message and I said, hey, that, you know, temperatures are dropping. If I set up an event for early December, you and your wife be in because I want some people to sign up. And he was like, absolutely. And like, there's a local park I think would be fantastic for it. you know, I'm looking forward to finding out more about it from you and Sarah about events. Because one thing I worry about is dropping physical pins. The way it works in China, I worry about security guards and cleaning people just basically following me, picking them up as I put them down. So I got to put some thought into that, but the park is a fantastic location for virtuals and whatnot. So that also got me to thinking, you mentioned maybe me and Batman Kai making a promotional video, which I would love to do. We would love to do that. Recently, Joshua, the geocaching vlogger, has been making some more Munzee content on his TikTok channel or his TikTok.
I noticed. Yeah,
and he's been tagging me on Twitter because I don't have a TikTok thing because I can't because I have a Chinese phone number. If you have a Chinese phone number, you can't make a TikTok account. So
even though it's a Chinese-owned company.
Yeah, I know, right? But they don't want people in China having access to it. Interesting, huh? And that's the one thing I noticed where I tried to set up an account last year here when I was in Japan and back here again, and I couldn't do it. And I realized it's because my SIM card has a Chinese number on it. But yeah, so, you know, obviously I won't be making TikTok content, but Joshua has kind of inspired me and Batman Kai to make some fast, hopefully kind of cool little videos to promote the game. And more so than anything, to promote it within our local community. And now that the weather has finally become really comfortable, I need to put a push out like this week and next week and just start getting players. And so I got to start making those little dime bags again of Munzees in preparation for that. And there's a those out there in Munzee world, you probably don't know this. New revelation. Big news, guys. I'm learning how to be a beekeeper. So... And big news. So the guy who's kind of my mentor, he's a high school teacher at our school, and he's a very experienced beekeeper who's been a beekeeper in the UK. He's run he's created apiaries at different schools in China, and he's luckily now at our school and teaching me and other teachers how to do this. I mentioned he bumped into me last night when I was out playing Munzee. He saw me walking down the street.
Oh.
And yeah, I was like literally out like at 9:45 at night, and I was walking past the school, and he was like going up to the school to do something on his bike, and he saw me. He's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh," and I showed him like my phone. He was like, "What's that?" I'm like, "It's a geolocation game called Munzee." He's like, "Is it like geocaching?" I said, "Yes." He's like, "I love geocaching. I'm a geocacher." I'm like, "Oh, have you heard of Munzee?" He was like, "No, but I want to hear." So I can't wait to talk to him about that this weekend. I think I may have another player, but yeah, we definitely want to get more folks involved. So speaking of events,
yes,
last week, Akashi Japan, talk to me.
Well, Sarah, who's been a frequent guest of this podcast and a fellow a clan member, she organized an event. Now, technically I was the co-organizer, but she did all the legwork. She planned it. She picked Akashi Park, which is where, as you know, where the castle ruins are. It's a large park. There's playground areas for children. There's hiking trails, several lakes, a lot of flora and fauna. It's a beautiful park, and she picked that in part because we know it's important to you, and we hope when you come back, it's so full now. You could literally just sit on a bench and cap for hours.
Sweet.
But speaking of the physical pins, the event pins, it was a challenge because we didn't know this, but the annual floral show, they do ikebana and different types of flowers, were on display.
I remember that show.
And it was so crowded. It was hard for her to put out these event pins and prevent them from being muggled. Because the whole point with the event pins, as you know, is you're putting out a physical pin, but it's not usually hid as discreetly as the normal physicals because you want people to find them. So, you know, she put them out in the morning, and by the time people showed up in the afternoon, some were already gone.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, so many people in the park. You'll want to talk to her about that, and she might be able to give you some advice. I helped her a bit, but she really did all the work and put it all together, and it turned out so well. The weather was great, a little clouds, but no rain, no wind. I mean, I saw the first day was on a Wednesday. It was a holiday here, so everybody had a national holiday. I met her and her husband, and we went around, checked the pins, and they were there in the morning. And in the afternoon, we met Jesse, another local player, and his family. And we, you know, had lunch together and chatted. So, you know, up till now, because of COVID, our events have been largely non-social. Individual meetings for sure, but we haven't organized any types of meetings, understandably. But we did this time, and it was great to socialize. Later in the evening, the family from Nara, there's six of them, a mother, father, and four kids. And they're all hardcore players.
They're all teenagers, right? So they're not like little ones. Like, no. I'm Not that Batman Kai's a little one, but he's 11. But yeah, he's my oldest. He had
limited endurance, whereas these kids exactly. are in great shape. The moms are
both fit.
Are big into fitness and health, and so their kids are out there, and they're like a unit. When they move through a neighborhood with the scatters and the runoffs, it creates a virtual storm of points, which I benefited from because they came in the evening, everyone else had left. And I was about to leave when I noticed that they were in the park, and I just sat down on a bench and just absorbed their scatters. I got my biggest single point day, over 65,000 points, which in a young map area is huge because there is nothing but what's deployed for the event, basically. And that was a great day. The next day, Ian, another local player, went and he played. And then on the weekend, I went back with Sarah and we ran into a couple of Japanese players. Yaro Jidai was there, a local player. And we had lunch together. There's a restaurant in the park, which is so good, by the way, serves beer. And so we could get a burger and a beer. And
I wasn't there before.
No,
yeah, nice.
It was just a vending machine. It's now a burger shop, and they do sweets and alcohol and coffee drinks. And you can sit out on the veranda and watch the park, and the sun's out. And like I said, it's cold in the evenings, but it's still quite warm in the day, comfortably in the day. So I met Yaro Jidai, and so I met. Almost all, only two or three players from the local group couldn't attend because of work or, you know, what other, you know, things get in the way. But it was quite well attended, and it was good. I just, you know, she did all the work. I'm listed as a co-organizer, but she did the work. I mean, I only showed up in the morning and helped her check the event in. She did the printing out and the laminating and the printing, and she contacted the other players, encouraging them to come out. And so I think it was very successful, and hats off to her. This is now our third event in Japan. Jesse held one. Ian held the first one. So we're on track to having, you know, 2, 3, 4 a year, which is nice, which is a good number. I wouldn't want to have any more than that. But it, like I said, it was very well done, and we just lucked out with the weather. And having that castle as a backdrop to a Munzineering or Munzeeing, whatever you want to call it, it was great. And it was a chance to be social because of COVID. We haven't been as social as a community. But I think to see each other and have a beer or chat on the steps of the castle was just wonderful. And awesome. Talk to her when you plan yours, because she and Jesse and Ian, they know. I just scoop up their points and hard work.
Nice. I definitely will be talking to people with regards to that when it's time. And but my first goal is to, and I'm actually going to do this tonight, is to start making a few graphics in Canva to just kind of push the game and get people into a group again on WeChat and put together some dime bags of Munzees and get my hands on some more greenies and start putting that together and encouraging people to get them play, because now the weather's nice here, so that's doable. Well, you know what? I don't want to keep you much longer. I know my family is going to start moving now towards kind of the bedtime process.
Bedtime shift.
It's that time of the school day. It is a Wednesday here, so we've got a few more days left in the school week. Let's see. Batman Kai is doing well. We have been playing as much as we'd like together because of our life schedules and his after-school activities and sports. He's now in junior high school. So his soccer season has officially ended, and he has started rugby.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right? So PJ knows my son, Kai, so he's probably like, what? So
he's Kai's a gentle soul, but he's also very active, and he likes to get out there. So it's great that he's mixing.
He just wants to run around. He said he just wants to be outside and run. So that's it. He's a gentle soul who just wants – and I'm sure a lot of rugby players are gentle souls too.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, they're just large and you know, strong people.
This is the habit of a lifetime that will serve him well, that he's out there, that he's active, and that, you know, you don't want to just be in the classroom and studying. You need to be out there doing something physical. And he's gotten that from you, I think. Both you and my encourage them to go out and do different activities, including monthly. So,
yeah, and just to be outdoors.
Yeah.
And I think we don't want him to be just a kid who's strapped to a device all the time. And obviously that's like when you're a Munzee, that's a big part of it. But at the same time, there's such a difference between being out, you know, checking your Munzee app and being out in the world, exploring the world, vs sitting on a sofa in a living room all day long on a device doing a different kind of game. The beauty of the geolocation games is that you're active, you're outdoors, you're seeing the world, you're experiencing the weather and that social piece like you've talked about. So, and that's the great thing. And you know, my wife really well, is that although I've been trying to convince her, she's like, no, I'm not going to open an account. I'm not going to play. but she supports us doing it.
She
realizes, like, when I'm like, Kai, let's go play this game, that means we're heading outside together, dad and son, to be outside for a few hours together, actively moving around doing stuff. So, you know, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Well, so let's wrap this up, PJ. And it's been a fantastic conversation. Guys out there listening, I hope you enjoyed it. I'm sure you did. We need more Munzee talk in the world. We've got, you know, Joshua Johnson, the geocaching vlogger, has been making content out there. Thanks, Josh, for doing that. We appreciate it. We got to get you on this podcast soon, but you've got a busy schedule, man.
We'll make it happen one day or another. We'll get it happening.
He'll be on here soon. And for those of you out there listening, if you'd like to come on the podcast, get in contact with us at munzeemaniacs@gmail.com. munzeemaniacs@gmail.com. I believe that's our email address. If not, I'll correct that. Come and follow us or like our Facebook group, the Munzee Maniacs Podcast Facebook group. We've got more than 130 people over there now, which is awesome. And like every week, every episode, I say I need to post there more, but I don't. But I do post some things there and other people, and there'll be a little, there's nuggets of goodness. You can, of course, what I ask all of you to do is, of course, subscribe to the podcast, share it with your Munzee playing friends. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Anchor, wherever it may be, leave us a positive rating, leave a review, good ones only. Thank you. And help us grow.
I got my sister-in-law and my brother to subscribe this week. So, you know, I'm doing my part. I'm shilling out there. I'm getting people
awesome.
To notice.
Awesome. 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 And we got some exciting things coming down the pipe. There's always exciting things coming down the pipe. We're heading into Christmas season. I can't wait to see what's going to be happening. We're partway through November, and I'm sure there's going to be some really exciting things happening in December. Really excited about that. That's going to be cool because, you know, for someone like me who lives in a, relatively small Munzee area, it'll be cool to see what kind of events and options are available for us in December. PJ, where can they find you?
I am on the Insta, as all young hip people are.
Like we are. Like we're young and hip. Oh, yeah.
We are young and hip, if only in our own minds, nonetheless. You can find me at Kansai, KANSAI, _PEE_JAY. And from there, you can find links to my other social networking. But like Kevin, I'm on Facebook, in particular, the podcast group and the Munzee in Asia group as well. And also on the water cooler, the Munzee water cooler group. I don't post very much, but I do read it every day.
He is a lurker.
I am. Kevin, where can they find you, Mad for Maple?
Yes, that's right. That's on Twitter @MadForMaple on Twitter, if you guys use Twitter. I'm a teacher, so that's still a big happening. That is the space for educators, believe it or not. Twitter is a very active place for teachers. I do have an Insta account. I've got a couple. I've got one called Shizen Wildlife. Shizen S-H-I-Z-E-N. Notice I said Zed. I'm Canadian. Shizen Wildlife. Shizen is the Japanese word for nature. And at Jland Kev, J-L-A-N-D-K-E-V. I'm not so active on the old, I'm trying to get more active on Insta. I should be. Because you know
some of those videos that you make, you should cross post.
Yes, there as well. We will. Exactly, because that's where the eyeballs will be on.
Yeah.
But you know what? I got a comment on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. I think I shared the screenshot with you and Sarah from a teacher who's in America who said I got him hooked on Munzee. He said he's been following me as a teacher for years. Mm-hmm. He's like an American high school history teacher, and he said that. He shared a picture of a Munzee he capped, and he said, like, I've got a new obsession thanks to at Mad for Maple. So that's there great. We go. I hooked another one through Twitter accidentally. Well, not accidentally. That's why I post stuff about Munzee on Twitter, because I want to try to. It's actually quite intentional. That's my whole point of promoting the game on Twitter. And I hope to see you guys out there. If you are active Munzee players, if you have a Twitter account, share on Twitter. If you're Facebook users, don't just share on the groups, the water cooler, the Munzee Maniacs Facebook group. Share on your own feed. If you're an Insta user, share on Instagram. If you use TikTok, make Munzee content. Share pictures and things on those platforms. Help grow the game.
Yeah, and by the way, absolutely. we're right now, as far as we know, the only podcast. There are several YouTube channels, mm-hmm. but we're the only podcast. But we'd love some competition. We love more the merrier here, and we're out, and we'll promote you. You promote us. Get the game
absolutely
to new ears and new eyes.
With platforms like Anchor.fm, which we use as a hosting platform, it's free. Like once upon a time, I've been a podcaster for a long time. I used to pay poop tons of money every month to host my podcasts on platforms like Libsyn and different places. But with Anchor, it's free. It's free, 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 and it shoots it out to Apple Podcasts, Google, all those places you want to be. It's super easy to do. And if you want to make a Munzee podcast, I encourage you. Hey, Carson, what are you doing? Come on. You make a podcast.
We'd love to listen to YouTube. He's a visual man, I think.
Yeah, I know. But
I know what you mean. We need people to get out there, and we'd love to hear more podcasts. We'd love to hear more YouTube channel, frankly.
Any content, and we'll promote you here. We'll have you on as a guest. We'll try to mentor you as much as we can. As the fools we are, we will mentor you.
Pretty darn good fools, I tell you.
We're likable fools.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, that's right.
Us
for the iron pirate of podcasters, right?
Oh, there you go. There's a nature boy showing off.
Gee, well, that'd be more geology boy, which I'm not. Just happened to the fool's gold is called iron pyrite. Okay, this is the longest ending ever.
You cannot not teach, can you? You really can't.
Okay. All right, folks. Goodbye, and I hope you're happy and healthy and all that stuff. Bye-bye.
Munzee on, people. We'll be right back.